This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. St. Anne's Church in Brooklyn has been the site of occasional concerts where contemporary singers and songwriters gather to perform the works of the songwriters that have most influenced them. Earlier this month, Marshall Crenshaw, Martha Wainwright, Beth Orton, Sandra St. Victor, and Jimmy Dale Gilmore gathered for an end-of-the-millennium concert they called The Songs of the Century. The musical director was Peter Hulsapple. He's in a band called the Continental Drifters, formerly was in the DBs, and toured with REM. We invited Hulsapple and two of his current bandmates to come to our studio in New York and sing some of the songs from the concert. Susan Cousel got her start as the youngest member of the Cousels, the band the Partridge Family was based on, and Vicki Peterson is a former member of the Bangles. Their band, the Continental Drifters, has a new CD called Vermilion. I want to welcome all of you to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
And how about starting with a song? Why don't one of you introduce the first song for us? Tell us why you've chosen this as one of the songs of the century.
Okay. The first song we'd like to do for you is Be My Baby. I think this is a song of the century specifically because it evokes a time in pop music when things were pretty fresh and pretty exciting, this sort of pre-Beatle world in New York. And I don't know, it struck me as one of the songs to celebrate having been living in this century for. So we'd like to do that one for you. And Susan's going to sing lead on that.
Okay, and I'll mention this is the Ronettes had the hit, 1963.
That's right.
The song is written by Jeff Barry and Ellie Greenwich.
Two wonderful, wonderful songwriters who continued on for years and years and still are doing stuff, which is very cool. So we're going to do that one for you.
The night we met, I knew I needed you so. If I had the chance, I'd never let you go. And since the day I saw you, I've been here waiting for you. You know I will look for you till eternity. So won't you please
be my
little baby.
That's great. That's the Continental Drifters, Peter Holsapple, Susan Cowsill, and Vicki Peterson, and a song inspired by their Songs of the Century concert. Peter, you were organizing the Songs of the Century concert. What was the origins of the idea?
Well, I've done music directing for programs at St. Anne's, the Arts at St. Anne's, for 2 years prior to this. I did a tribute to Nick Drake called Brighter Later, and then we did one last year with the Continental Drifters as the backing band called Listen, Listen, the Songs of Sandy Denny. And we were trying to come up with something this year, and we were thinking about, well, what would be a good thing? And you know, obviously we're at a time in the year when, and in the century and in the millennium where people are looking at the ends of things and trying to see what's mattered. And we decided we'd make it something slightly more open-ended, so we called it Songs of the Century rather than Greatest Songs of the Century or Our Favorite Songs of the Century or What Billboard Magazine Says is the Songs of the Century, that kind of thing. So it was decided that we would try to do it on a kind of qualitative basis.
So what are some of the songs that made it into the show?
Well, let's see. To start it off, we did Tower of Song by Leonard Cohen, which is a beautiful song. That's one that Janine had lobbied long and hard for to start the show, and it really made sense because it's a song about songs, and it's a song about singing, and it's a song about songwriting. And it's a beautiful song. I wasn't as familiar with that as some of his work, but Martha Wainwright sang that one and did a beautiful job.
Boy, did she ever.
Yes, indeedy. let's see, we did Town Without Pity by Gene Pitney.
Great.
Marshall Crenshaw sang that, and it was amazing. Thoroughly mind-altering. He also did Route 66, which we needed a car song, which that one kind of worked particularly well. Beth Orton did Every Time We Say Goodbye, the Cole Porter song, which was, another one of the things that we were trying to do was to take the singers out of their regular milieu and have them do songs that perhaps they liked but maybe were a little self-conscious about because it wasn't the kind of stuff that they're noted for. So we had her doing that. She did Love in Vain by Robert Johnson. She picked one which was really interesting too, which was Can't Find My Way Home by Blind Faith, which is a great song. And it's not, I don't think it's one that people ordinarily would have come to mind when they were listing the great songs of the century, but through no fault of the song itself, more that there are so many theoretically in front of it in the list of songs. So we got to do that one, and it brought down the house, which was very cool.
One of the nice things about the concert at St. Anne's that we did was that we all got a chance to catch up on songs that we either weren't familiar with or things that were sort of in the back of your mind. Things like Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? I mean, mm-hmm. What a classic, beautiful American moment in music and history, and it was performed beautifully. Marshall did that, right?
Marshall did that.
And
so amazing.
I mean, songs like that, which are, somebody's grandparents' favorite songs.
Right.
You know?
Your dad sang it, and you went, oh, please stop.
Well, no, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm wondering if there are songs that you know from parents or grandparents that you felt one way about at the time and feel differently about now. Like maybe you dismissed the songs in the time and realize now they're great songs.
I can say that for Buddy, Can You Spare a Dime?
Mm-hmm.
Really? My parents weren't.
My dad always sang it.
Really?
His name was Bud. It was a
problem.
Oh, there's
that, yeah.
It was just like, and he did it with a ukulele, and I really wanted him to stop. It made me nuts. And I completely gained an entire new respect for it. And plus, Marshall isn't as obnoxious as my dad was when he was doing.
Nowhere near it.
Peter, what about you? Are there songs that you used to dismiss that you now realize are great?
Well, but coming into this concert, I thought, I don't really ever need to hear Summertime again because I've heard it so much. It's a beautiful song. Gershwin wrote a very succinct melody and a very short, gorgeous song. But we handed it over to Beth Orton, and she put a whole new spin on it, and we played it differently from versions that I've heard in the past. Dave Schramm did a really cool little guitar figure on it, and it kind of had a nice little spiritual rebirth for me in there. That was one that comes to mind.
My guests are three members of the Continental Drifters, Peter Holsapple, Susan Cowsill, and Vicki Peterson. They have a new CD called Vermilion. They'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air. We're back with three members of the Continental Drifters, Peter Holsapple, Susan Cousel, and Vicki Peterson. Holsapple recently organized a Songs of the Century concert at St. Anne's Church in New York. Well, let me ask you to do another song for us.
Okay.
Another Song of the Century that you've chosen. You want to introduce it?
Yeah, I'd love to. This is a song that means a lot to me because it was written by Loman Pauling. And Loman Pauling was the leader of the Five Royales, which was a singing group that was popular in the 50s, and they were from my hometown of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, one of the great musical entities from there. And we've been doing this song. This did not end up in Songs of the Century, but it could very easily have, and it's just a gorgeous song, and everybody knows this song.
Because it's hard for me, my baby, and the darkest hour is just before dawn. Each night before you go to bed, my baby, whisper a little prayer for me, my baby.
Dedicated to the one I love.
Life can never be exactly like we want it to be.
I could be satisfied knowing you love me.
But there's one thing I want you to do, especially for me, and it's something for a little prayer for me, my baby,
yeah.
Because it's hard for me, my baby, and the darkest hour is just before dawn.
Well, there's one thing I want you to do, especially for me.
And it's something that everybody needs. Each night before you go to bed, my baby, whisper a little prayer for me, my baby.
Dedicated to the one I love. This is dedicated
to the one I love.
This is dedicated
to the one I love.
This is dedicated
to the one I love.
This is dedicated.
That's great. That was Peter Holsapple, Susan Cousel, Vicki Peterson, the Continental Drifters, singing Dedicated to the One I Love, one of the songs that they've chosen as a Song of the Century. And Songs of the Century was a concert that Peter Holsapple produced recently at St. Anne's in New York. The Shirelles had the hit of that back in 1961.
They did indeed.
And
the Mamas and the Papas also in 1966, I believe.
66 or 67.
Your band, the Continental Drifters, is interesting, you know, in the sense that, you know, the three of you are all songwriters, you're all singers, and your CDs alternate who's doing the songwriting, who's doing the singing. I guess that works really well for you. Some bands, you know, there's a lot of performers who would only work in a band where it was them fronting it, period.
We are so not interested, in being in that band, as I think a lot of us have been in that band.
Uh-huh.
And I have always enjoyed the community musical experience over the singular solo musical experience, because you're not sharing it, you're just having it, and that's never really felt as good for me.
It's such a vacuum in a lot of ways, being, you know, I'm probably the most recalcitrant solo artist that's ever come along. I'm much better, it just feels better with a band, you know, and especially a group of people like the Drifters, who are all best friends, and we watch each other's kids, and we rehearse, you know, in living rooms. We put the living room back in music, that thing that Emmylou Harris was talking about on Will the Circle Be Unbroken. We definitely bring the living room back into the musical fold.
Why don't you do a Continental Drifter song for us?
Okay.
This is a song off our new record, Vermilion, and it is one of several songs that sort of revolves around the world and the sensibility of water. And I'm not quite sure why that happens, but it just seems to happen in Drifterland. Okay, here we go. It's called Watermark.
And this is Vicki Peterson singing lead and writing the song.
That's correct. Watermark, the tears are all dried and leaving a stain. On an empty heart where nothing is right, ain't nothing like rain. Oh, when it falls down on me. Oh, and when it falls down on me. There's a man I know, he's keeping his face turned into the light. I can see the glow shine into the dark, shine into the night. Oh, and when it shines down on me. Oh, and when it shines down on me. Oh. Mark, the tears are all dried and leaving a stain. On an empty heart where nothing is right, ain't nothing like rain. Oh, and when it falls down on me. Oh, and when it falls down on me.
And that's Watermark from the new Continental Drifters CD, Vermilion, sung for us in the studio by Vicki Peterson, who wrote the song, with Susan Cousel and Peter Hulsapple doing backup vocals.
Could I mention one thing?
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to mention that this is actually half of the Continental Drifters right at the moment, that we actually have very able members, Russ Broussard, Mark Walton, and Robert Mache, who are
still sleeping.
Yeah. Hopefully are still sleeping, but... They are absolutely fully functional members of the mothership here. So
okay,
there's a lot of us.
Well, Susan, we just heard you singing backup vocals, and it seems to me you've probably been singing harmony your whole life.
I have indeed been singing harmony my whole life, which is probably why I'm the guy who doesn't want to be a solo artist in a band. I am programmed to receive other sounds and bodies next to me.
And in case any of our listeners are wondering if Susan Cowsill is from The Cowsills, the answer would be yes.
The answer is absolutely, eternally yes.
We were thinking of changing her middle name to Of The.
Or Susan, yes, that. Susan Cowsill. Yes, that could be my middle name.
And we'll hear more about The Cowsills in the second half of the show when Peter Hallsappel, Susan Cowsill, and Vicki Peterson return. They're members of the Continental Drifters, and they have a new CD called Vermilion. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with three members of the Continental Drifters, Peter Hallsappel, Vicki Peterson, and Susan Cowsill. They have a new CD called Vermilion. They performed at a Songs of the Century concert earlier this month, organized by Hallsappel. Before we hear another song from the 60s that they did at the concert, let's find out about Susan Cowsill's family band from the 60s, the Cowsills, the band that the Partridge Family was based on. I have always wondered what it was like being in a band with your mother.
Oh, great question.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been asked that.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
Never been asked that specific. I've been asked about the brothers, I've been asked about the family, but I've never been asked about my mom. And I will tell you that it was, it is and was a very special situation because we did have, it was my mother and I against the men. And I think it bonded us in a way that mothers and daughters probably wouldn't generally be able to be bonded. We were musicians together. And awfully strange that I was 7 and she was 40, you know, and we were kind of doing, I don't know, we were sharing a musical experience on a kind of common ground at very different points in our lives and very unusual, I think.
What were the big gender splits about between the men and the women in the band?
Oh, just that they're obnoxious and endless, and we were little and wanted to be left alone, and did often go off and go shopping and leave the, you know, I mean, it was just lots of man energy, and mom was 5'2" and I was 7, so just kind of visualize, you know, 6 guys and she and I. But it was really nice. It was nice because we worked together. My mom didn't go off to work. She was right there. So she was kind of available at all times.
The TV show The Partridge Family was based on the real Cowsills. Did you watch the show?
I watched it every Friday night.
What did you think about when you watched the show? Did you want to be those people on TV impersonating you?
Or? You have no idea. We wanted to be them for sure. They had a lot of some of their scenarios were more appealing to us than ours were. I won't go into great detail about that, but yeah, what was it like? The whole thing was so surrealistic. I can't count the Partridge watching our family show on TV on Friday night as anything weirder than seeing myself on a 16 magazine every day as I walked by the little music stand on my way to, or the magazine stand on my way to school. I was quite aware how bizarre the whole thing was while it was going on. So there was nothing really that stood out. The whole thing was like being in a dream movie thing.
I think that a TV writer had been sent out to your house to observe the Cowsills for a possible TV series, which you never really had. But did you want that to happen? Did you?
I'll tell you, at the time, I wanted everything to happen. I was having a really good time, mm-hmm. so I didn't care. I think my older brothers, the Cowsills, at that, from time of conception of doing a show about our family to it coming to actually pass, probably 2 years went by, and they were pretty critical years because my brothers were growing up and becoming teenagers in the 60s, and the squeaky clean portions of our programs were starting to get kind of dirty. And they, you know, they were becoming young men, and we were pretty well into our career, pretty ready, you know, to not be together every single day. It was enough that we were on tour 9 months out of the year, and it was enough, you know, that we were playing and working together, but to have to, you know, be on TV together every week, I think it would have just made us crazy. And we're not actors. We, you know, we're musicians, and they found that out quite quickly upon their visit at our house.
Did you reach a certain age when you thought, I want to do things that don't fit the sensibility of the Cowsills, or I want to do music that doesn't include my brothers and my mother?
Sure. I think I reached that later than my brothers. The sensibility of the Cowsills, the band reached that conclusion somewhere around 1969, 70. Unfortunately, the music industry and all the arrangements and agreements made did not facilitate my brother's musical growth, which is one of the reasons why it needed to stop, because the machine was running the musicians and the musicians were not running the machine, because the Cowsills would have become a really amazing, you know, Americana rock pop band had they been allowed to do that. Me, I decide to go off into some other musical place? Absolutely not. I was on autopilot at all times. This is what I did. I didn't know how to do anything else. So I'm kind of something that's just constantly happening.
Just one more thing, Susan. What was it like for you, you know, after the Cowsills, when you were trying to establish yourself on your own as a solo artist or in bands, and people knew that you were from the Cowsills? Did that seem really cool to them or really square to them? What were some of the things you had to deal with trying to establish yourself in the post-Cowsill era?
Well, it really has never been a problem for me. I think it's been more of a hindrance to my brothers, and probably only in their minds. You know, I was young enough where I think nobody held me accountable for the themes, you know, the kind of music we were doing, because I was just kind of along for the ride. It was kind of difficult establishing myself as I didn't play guitar until about 7 years ago. I didn't write a song till 7 years ago. And I just didn't know what to do with myself, you know, as an artist. So I just went out and collected a whole new family, and now I'm happy right back where I was. You know, I got a record deal when I was 16 because I needed to quit school because I had never gone. And then the band stopped being a band, and they put me in the ninth grade and told me, now you're going here every day. And it just wasn't working for me. So I begged my mother to let me quit, and I would, you know, she said to me something like, well, what are you going to do, sit around and watch TV all day? And I said, no, Mom, I'm going to go out and do what you guys taught me to do, the only thing I know how to do. I'm going to go get a record deal. And I did. I had a singles deal on Warner's when I was 16. But I still, and the music is very telling of exactly how much I didn't understand about what I was supposed to be doing. I'm kind of a late bloomer.
What did you record when you were 16?
Oh, my God. I recorded... It might as well rain until snow, September. No, please don't. Rain Until September by Carole King. I did this ridiculous version of It's Too Late by Carole King. And then I did some horrible, like, dance song, like Meet Me at the Cafe, Baby, or something. Really.
Never heard that.
Oh, my God. It was like, I walk on to the street, oh, babe. It was just horrible.
Wow.
It was terrible.
And so
that career kind of died rather quickly. I think one radio station in L.A. played Rain Until September. And then, you know, I just kind of wandered about the streets looking for another family band I wasn't related to. Yes.
Well, you're truly in a family band in the sense that you and Peter Holzapfel are married, and I know everybody in the band is really, really close.
We're very close, yeah.
Do you think you'll have your children singing with you at some point?
Well, Miranda's writing a little song called We Love You, Baby India. So, I mean,
this morning at breakfast.
This morning. So anything's possible.
Anything's possible. Great. Yeah. Well, my guests are Susan Cowsill, Vicki Peterson, and Peter Holzapfel, three members of the Continental Drifters. And Peter recently produced the Songs of the Century concert at St. Anne's in New York. And I'm going to ask you to close with another song from the Songs of the Century concert that you chose, Peter. And
okay.
Why don't you introduce it for us?
Okay. This is a song that I remember hearing as a kid on the radio and just thinking that it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever heard, and very succinct and very downtrodden and lovely. And I finally actually got to meet the singer, Skeeter Davis, several years ago when I went to the Grand Ole Opry with some friends in Nashville. And it was really, really exciting to me. And this is a song that Vicky's going to sing for us.
Does the sun go on shining? Why does the sea rush to shore? Don't they know it's the end of
of the world, 'cause you don't love me anymore. Why do the birds go on singing? Why do the stars shine above? Don't they know it's the end of the world? It ended when I lost your love. I wake up in the morning and I wonder why everything's the same as it was. I can't understand, no, I can't understand how life goes on the way it does. Why does my heart go on beating? Why do these eyes of mine cry? Don't they know it's the end of the world? It ended when you said goodbye. Why does my heart go on beating? Why do these eyes of mine cry? Don't they know it's the end of the world? It ended when you said goodbye.
Great, and I'm glad you got in a little recitation in there. There just isn't enough recitation in songs today.
I know, nobody ever does that anymore.
It also had a modulation, something that's very, very important.
Right. Well, a fitting song to do in a Songs of the Century concert as we end the millennium, and some people are really waiting for the end of the world.
You think?
Well, it's really been a pleasure to have you here. I really thank you all. Peter Holsapple, Susan Kausel, Vicki Peterson,
much.
Members of the Continental Drifters. Their new CD is called Vermilion. Thank you so much for being with us.
We thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. We've enjoyed your show so much, too.
This is Fresh Air.